So welcome to this audio on Creating Freedom with David DeAngelis. My name's Steve Noble. Now, David DeAngelis, a good friend of mine, had a great career with his own design agency. He's gone on to become an internet entrepreneur, and he's the creator of Secrets of the Money Shaman. And I've known David for a few years now. We've run workshops together. So, David, you're here talking about freedom.
I'm talking about freedom. Hi, Steve.
Hi, David. So what is freedom?
It's an interesting question, and it's also an incredibly loaded question. And in a way, when we set this interview up and we were talking about what are we going to discuss, it popped into my mind very strongly as an intuition. And almost as soon as it popped into my mind and I said it to you and you said, that's a great idea, part of me thought, I've really set myself up here for something. Now, freedom, as a definition, the mind always wants to grab hold of something and put a parameter around it and corral it, you know, a bit like sort of getting sheep into the pen. Freedom really is it's a state of being, and it's not necessarily a thought thinking process. And this is where often there's a real problem when people start to talk about freedom. They try to define it in terms of fixed parameters. And really, for me, it's the only person I can really talk with any real depth about. Freedom is when I feel there's a kind of silencing of the mind and the intuition that I spoke of just now about that word freedom just coming up, really allowing that to just come forth and to live from that perspective where I'm not trying to think my life through and come up with the right answer. I'm in a state of flux, open to a world of possibilities, a world of opportunities, also a world of possible mistakes. And really, freedom is, the Taoists had a definition of freedom which was the complete diametric opposite to which our culture has, and they were saying that freedom is when you never have to choose. And in our culture, we seem to have the reverse situation where we're given seemingly endless choice. And that is how we think of freedom. Like, we've got all these different choices. So I would say that freedom, in a sense, is living from the perspective of your intuition, living from the perspective of a being state. But that doesn't mean that you don't think things through. And the other thing that freedom is, it's not knowing. It's not coming up with defined answers on things. And many spiritual masters talk about reaching the state of ultimately not knowing and living from that perspective of spontaneity. So that in essence is freedom. Now, how to apply that is a different matter, and how we can live in that space or use that perspective to create amazing things in our life.
Well, really going to ask you about that in a minute, Dave, but I'm really intrigued by this this idea that never having to make a choice.
Yeah.
Because you're right, in our culture, freedom is having more choice, maybe more money to buy more things, you know, even for some people it's more potential girlfriends or boyfriends.
Yeah.
But you're saying something different. What does that mean, never having to make a choice?
When you never have to make a choice, you move from what's most obvious in your life. So very often, or most of the time, we're lost in a kind of ocean of thoughts. And most of those thoughts are just really turbulence. They don't mean anything. And if you said to someone, I want you to stop thinking, it's impossible. Thoughts just come. In a sense, you could say they're not even our thoughts, because we're not controlling them. We don't know where they come from. They just spring out of nowhere. And there's a thing that says, well, just because there's a voice in your head, it doesn't mean you have to listen to it. And I think with making choices, it's very, and we've talked about this, and we've also worked through this in the workshops that we give. And I would say that the majority of what we term as choices are not choices. They're decisions. And a decision is always something that relies on a past situation or a memory. And most of our lives are lived according to what's happened in the past.
Which is not freedom.
Which isn't freedom.
No,
it's the opposite of freedom. So never having to make a choice is to really go with what's most obvious in the moment, and to have a commitment to live that way. Now, that doesn't, for many of us, it may seem that living like that would, all of our lives would collapse and go into complete chaos. And I would say that in my own experience, when I've stepped into that space, and sometimes that's happened spontaneously. I can remember 3 months after my mother died, I'd been with my mother when she died and gone through this whole process over 6 weeks of her slowly preparing for death. And I was in a very elated space, really. It was quite strange, because in many ways I was delighted for her that she had such a peaceful, lovely death, and the process of going through that with her and seeing her slowly let go of all these things that she didn't need anymore. And it was a real kind of letting go and a letting go and a letting go. And as she let go, the thing that was so amazing is that she started to look younger and younger and younger, and it seemed like all of the tension was dropping out of her body. And that was just something that really struck me. And I remember a few weeks after, I was just sitting having a coffee somewhere, and it was like I sort of stepped into a complete opening. And in that space, it was like I suddenly wasn't the central character, this like little homunculus that hides behind the curtain that seems to be running the show, was no longer present. And it was seen that there was that really life is free. There is just freedom. It's not like there's freedom and then non-freedom. The ultimate state that we all already exist in, we're already there, is a state of freedom. It's unconditional. And if something doesn't have a condition upon it, it is in a state of freedom. And really what the mind does, what thought does, it starts to come in and it places a condition upon a state of freedom. And in a way you could say that that's done so, you know, we can then experience the contraction, and then there's a possibility of experiencing the freedom as well. It's like not knowing what dark is without light, or up without down. But really, in many ways, that kind of state of freedom is something that's always present for us. And what we tend to do is fill our lives up with conditions. And those conditions can be imposed. Most of them are actually imposed on us from children. We're conditioned to see the world in a certain way. And interestingly, when, for whatever reason, be it through a grieving process or often it is a kind of an event. I mean, a bit like sort of Eckhart Tolle talks about, you know, that deep depression he went into, and then he sort of went into this kind of cavern, deep, dark space, and then from there, you know, often it is a kind of experience that takes us into these different levels of knowing, of consciousness. And when it's seen that most of the things that we think we have to do, most of the things that we feel obliged to do aren't necessary, and they're not necessary for us to live amazing lives. And this notion that everything, if we let go of that, everything's going to fall apart, doesn't happen. And I remember for about 3 weeks I was in that space, and it got less and less and less and less and less over that period. But for that time, you know, and it's happened on and off, you know, since then. But it's really seen that these habitual stressful thought patterns are completely unnecessary in order for us to achieve things and get things done. So in fact, I was more productive at my work. I gave better talks. I created better material. My relationships seemed to, a lot of the tension fell out of some of the relationships that I had with people and friendships that, and I just found that that wasn't necessary for us to hold those shoulds and musts and have tos in order for things to carry on, but carry on in a really effective way rather than just a busy way.
Is it, because you mentioned Eckhart Tolle, and his main book was The Power of Now. And what you said before was, you know, we're so conditioned about the past, we're always reacting from our past. Is it, are you talking about a more being in a state of being in the now? Because also there's a future, isn't it? A lot of people are driven by these ideas, I've got to achieve this, I've got to get that. So there's the past and the future. Both of those can, I guess, create a state of non-freedom if you're overly being driven by them. Was that what you would say?
It's an interesting thing, because if you say to somebody, I want you to come into the now, it's not always... I suppose it's like just an awareness of what's happening, and to do the next thing that becomes obvious. And I think it's like this notion of goal setting, which we're so addicted to in our culture. And Michelangelo had a lovely saying when he was talking about the way he created these beautiful sculptures, and he would say he would see a piece of stone, and all he was doing was chipping away the bits of stone to reveal the sculpture within the stone. So you could say that the freedom and the amazing lives that we're looking for are actually already inherently there. They're already inherently present for us. And the mass of thoughts and limitations and impositions that we place upon ourselves and are placed upon us are really, it's a bit like those are the ragged bits of the stone, and in a sense, just chipping those away or letting those fall away reveals what the possibilities are for us underneath that. And you know, living from a perspective of freedom, it doesn't mean that you're going to instantly stop doing things. I mean, I'll give you a very clear example of something that I experimented with. And I said, I'm going to spend a month and I'm not going to do all the things that limit me. And not anything that I feel limits me and causes stress within me, I'm going to stop doing. And I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to go down that road. And one of the things was paying bills, because I thought, well, look, I get a bill and there's part of me that feels like, oh, you know, feels, it always seems like it's too big. It's too much. And, you know, I'd read all of this stuff about love your bills. And no matter how much, you know, it's great to say that, isn't it? But, you know, I get a big phone bill. And even though I know I've got the money to pay it, I'm still thinking, that's too high. I haven't made all those calls that, or whatever, you know. So I thought, well, that's something. I won't pay this bill. I won't pay it for this particular time. And then there was other things in my life that I felt that that were limitations, and that I just stopped not do them. And it was really interesting, because I discovered that probably about 90% of all the things that I thought I needed to do that were really necessary for me to have the life, to even just to maintain my life, weren't necessary. And letting go of them, things just moved along absolutely fantastically, no problem. And interestingly enough, within that, I discovered that some of the things that I thought were limiting me, it wasn't them. So, for example, I came to the discovery that not paying the bill caused more tension in me than that thing of what, thinking it's too much and resenting paying it. And within that, the resentment seemed to drop away because I realized that in a way it was good to pay that, you know. And it just allowed me to see these things that I think are so, the things that I think I thought were restricting me weren't always necessarily the things that were restricting me.
Right.
So it just opened up a closer look at what was going on and a greater investigation into what the truth was about what was going on.
So I guess what you're saying is that stop living on automatic and that gives you a greater sense of freedom. Or what, is that not?
Not exactly. Because I think that you could say that when you're living from an intuitive perspective, it is automatic in a sense. And I guess we're using different...
Automatic meaning conditioned, like...
Oh, I see, yeah.
Conditioned,
yeah.
Response is what I meant.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's very difficult to drop that. And I think Byron Katie says a great thing, which is, look, don't try and drop it.
Uh-huh.
Just see that that's what you're doing.
All right.
And often just noticing that that's what is happening causes it to, it's a bit like someone saying, like, you know, you've been pinching yourself for a year and you're thinking, well, my arm hurts, and you're pinching, and someone just comes up and says, oh, do you realize that you're pinching yourself, and you let it go, and it's like, oh, that's what it was.
And greater awareness.
I think aware, just seeing those things that create that tension.
Do you think that we limit ourselves in experiencing freedom? We're our own worst enemy.
Yeah, I can't remember whether it's a Zen saying or whatever. It says that we're born free, and then we're taught how to limit ourselves, and then we get angry because we're limited.
Right.
So, I think just understanding that pretty much most of what we place upon ourselves is a kind of limitation, and we don't have to do anything, we really don't, and we think we do. But have you ever met someone, I mean, some people listening to this may have, but I'm going to say it because that's just how I feel about it. Have you ever met someone that could conclusively prove beyond all shadow of a doubt that they consciously asked to be born?
No.
I mean, no matter how sure somebody might, they can't really ultimately prove that.
No.
You know, and if that's the case, then we come into this world without obligation. We're not obliged to do anything, and everything that we use in order to navigate ourselves through life, in order to keep ourselves warm, to keep ourselves safe from certain threats or whatever, I mean, a lot of those become instinctively hardwired into our humanity, our behavioral patterns and whatever. But most of the psychological limitations that we place upon our life are literally just stories.
Mm.
They're not real. And
what would be an example of that? A story that limits us?
Well, I suppose a story that says I should be good.
Okay. Very big in the West.
Yeah. I should be good. And you know, who says that you should be good? And where did you get the story of what good is? Who gave you that definition of what good is? And often if you start to really look back and look back, you think, well, I don't know where I got that from. If that's something that you really feel with in yourself, if there's a really deep feeling of goodness, then that was probably a genuine goodness. But when we refer back to a set of conditions about a good person is a person who always opens the door for old people, a good person is a person that always puts the other people before themselves, a good person is, well, that's just a story. That's just a definition of what good is. And most of the time we don't really investigate what goodness is in ourselves. So that's an example of that.
Okay, great. You know? So I've got another question for you, David. I guess a lot of what we talked about is creating an inner state of space, possibility, intuition, maybe imagination, maybe flow, all these inner states. Do you think it's important for people to do activities that give them a sense of freedom as well? Is that an important part of it? Like doing the work you love or doing activities that give you a sense of joy? Or is that an important part of the equation?
I mean, in my life, yeah. I mean, but again, it's not essential for anyone to feel that they have to do yoga or they have to meditate or they have to do anything in order to experience that freedom. That freedom is not, again, it's not conditional. Freedom is an unconditional state of being. And the minute that we say that something has to be this way, or we need to do this in order to, you don't need to do anything to connect with that state, because that state is already present. It's already the case.
Do you think we're hardwired that way naturally from in the world, or before we come, or
Hardwired in terms of,
that's probably not the right word. Do you think it's a sort of part of our essence, essential nature
to be free?
Yeah.
It's probably part of our essential nature to, I mean, it's an interesting question, because we're so tied up with our cultural conditioning and our cultural way of living. It's difficult now to separate out the things that are just naturally there in terms of us creating comfort in our lives and certain needs that we have to establish those. And then things that are caught up with us trying to preserve these kind of images that we have of ourselves. And I think an enormous amount of the restriction that we have is this concern about how we are perceived by others. And that is probably a deep tribal thing, that when we lived in smaller cultures, tribal gatherings, everybody knew who everybody was in those smaller environments, and a social thing that was considered a social gaffe or a social misdemeanor was then very obvious for everyone. And I mean, it's interesting, like living in somewhere like London, I mean, I walk past people every single day that I've never ever seen in my life and I will never see again. And yet somehow we're still worried about what those people might think of us. And it seems that in a sense has become very heightened for us as cities have grown and that. And it's really that we're always trying to protect ourselves from threat, protect ourselves from criticism, protect ourselves. So, I mean, some people may say it's like the ego trying to always keep itself solid,
right?
And the more we can seemingly slip through this world without people questioning us about certain things or challenging us or feeling that we're cast out and we're not included, or we're, you know, it seems that so much is geared up to that, like, you know, everything to do with keeping security, insurance, and you know, we're constantly told about we've got to keep things secure, we've got to keep things stable, we've got to stop change. And it's such a funny thing, because it's some it's impossible. You can't stop it.
Yeah.
You know, and the youngest, most beautiful people are going to be skulls and rotting flesh one day.
We all change.
It's just what happens, yeah. You know. And we've got this incredible thing that we've got to keep hold of youth, and it's somehow it's shameful or embarrassing to be old, and yet that's where most, you know, unless you die young, that's where you're heading.
Yeah.
You know, it's the truth. It's a fact.
Yeah.
And so much of what goes on is about hiding the fact that we feel afraid, hiding the fact that we feel scared, hiding. So we're always hedging our bets and hiding.
Mm.
And freedom is to not play that game. And if you're frail, you live in that, you express that, and you express that fragility. And it's not something that you're not trying to protect a position or hold a position all the time. And to not place these conditions on life is really about freedom. I don't know whether it is freedom, but it's connected to it in my experience.
Well, I've always felt that freedom for me was about living an authentic life, living what I want to live, because for many years I lived according to my family's values and all of this. And then exactly what you were saying about, you know, trying to drop away from all of that, living according to what I want to live, not repressing anything, but just finding out, well, what is the life I want to live? Even asking the question, what is the life I want to live? Now, earlier, David, you mentioned about living in a community, you know, the old tribal systems. And I think for many people today, freedom is about independence. If I'm my own man or woman, going out there, getting money, doing my own thing, I'm free.
Mm.
But what about this, about living in community or with other people? Do you think is it freedom can be found in both?
Yeah, I'm sure freedom can be found in both. We're all as in relationship. You know, life is a relationship. It's a relationship with everything around us. It's a relationship as every human being is in an intimate relationship with everything else around them. Every other human being, whether we like it or not, we're all interrelated. And again, it's a very Western contemporary thing, this notion of even being self-determining and, you know, I've got to become a better self. I can improve upon myself.
Mm.
I can become better. And I think the whole personal development movement that sprung up really, you know, since the 60s, really, in 60s or 70s, that we see around us now, where somehow we have to improve upon ourselves. Now, I think that there's aspects of that that are very good, and there's aspects of it that seem to help people to live a more empowered life and to live a life that is less dictated by the limitations of their job or their whether they should get married, whether they should have children, whether they should drive this car, have this house. I think a lot of that's falling away now. And, you know, even, you know, the racial issues that I grew up with as a kid, you know, I've seen so much of that change. Mm. And you know, I think that we're generally, although many politicians and authorities, so-called authorities, would have us believe that we live in a much more dangerous world, I don't necessarily believe that's true. I think we, when there is an opening of a relaxing of restrictions, there will always be the opposite of that, trying to repress it and put it back down again. But I'd say that, you know, generally the notion that someone can become more open to being their own person and doing what stirs them in their heart more is generally happening more. And there's nothing, it's not about, I'm not sure whether that's necessarily the same thing as being free. I think it's an expression of freedom. It's an aspect of freedom that seems to be increasingly, it's increasingly being expressed in the world. So maybe it's an energetic thing that's coming out as we drop away from these fixed borders that we've been in for so long. So yeah.
So Damien, what advice or ideas or practical techniques would you give to people listening about creating more freedom in their life? What do you think, what do you find works?
I think it's just to really investigate the things in your life that are causing you tension and unhappiness, and to really see if those things that, I mean, it is like a contraction, and whenever we feel tense or uncomfortable, and I'm going to use that word uncomfortable, and I can remember feeling intensely uncomfortable in my own life, and almost like I'm like an unwelcome guest in my own life. I'm not welcome on this planet. I'm not welcome in my environment. I'm not welcome in my close relationships. I didn't feel comfortable and I didn't feel welcomed. And I think it's just the minute that someone says, look, you know, you can do this, this and that, and that will make you feel better. I don't necessarily think that that's, I've done so much over the years. You've also done many, many things. I've tried, you know, many different practices. I've sat with different gurus. I've studied with different shamans and all sorts of things. And I would say that I've taken an enormous benefit from many of those practices, and they have made my life, you know, they have improved the quality of my life. But ultimately, I think it's really just looking at those things where I feel uncomfortable and then just asking whether those are necessary. Do I have to hold on to them? Mm. And that could be around money. It could be around a relationship. It could be around a dispute. And really, I feel that I think Osho described life as a big let go. Mm. And the more we just notice where we feel uncomfortable and just breathe. Right. So even just getting back to the breath, and notice that when you feel uncomfortable in something, there's a tension in the breath. And it's the simplest and the most obvious place to start. And so, you know, you could go on all sorts of different programs and do all sorts of things in order to try and feel better. But ultimately, just the simplest thing of your breath, and just noticing when you're holding tension in your breath and just releasing that tension, will have a bigger effect than practically anything else you could do. And it's just simplicity, I think, is the real key to massive improvement.
Because a lot of people overcomplicate their lives, I guess, you could say. And I guess it's quite common for people trying to avoid discomfort. But you're saying don't do that, perhaps sit in it.
Yeah, I think it's almost like trying to avoid discomfort guarantees even more discomfort in many instances. And to just notice that discomfort, that tension, and you know, maybe even just without trying to, you know, impose something on the discomfort. Because some people say, like, you know, I've got to ask my pain what it's telling me. And even that, you're then again placing another condition even on the pain. So it's like, where does it all end? You know, you can't even be in pain without having it, you know, having to sort of super analyze and it means something. And really just coming back to the simple thing of that there's pain and then there's breath. And then there's pain, and then there's breath, and then there's pain, and then there's breath. And just being with that as an experience. And then if some kind of insight comes through as to why that pain is there, then it can be properly acted upon or properly introduced or properly integrated. Because it's not coming from, I mean, it might be just something like, you know, even just very gently dropping what might be called an opening question into a situation you're just breathing, and just, you know, what would bring me pleasure? What would move me towards? What would really move me towards what gives me joy in life? And you know, just but it's gentleness.
Mm.
You know, I feel so much of what people put themselves through now is almost like instead of personal development, it's personal punishment. You know, yeah. So it's almost like a kind of boot camp with sergeant majors, you know, telling you you must feel better. And I think the real simplicity of life, the key is in the simplicity of life.
Yeah.
And the more we complicate things, the more we place shoulds on things, the less answers we really receive, and the less we're open to even act upon those answers that come through.
Great, thanks, David. Well, can you just tell me a bit about your work? What are you doing? And also, for the listeners, your website.
Yeah, if you go to www.themoneyshaman.com, on that website, I've got lots of different things. Although it says The Money Shaman, it's really introducing different ideas for living passionately and abundantly. That's the core message that I want to deliver to this world. And I personally feel, which I haven't said actually on this interview, is that passion is very connected to freedom as well. And when we feel passion in our lives, there isn't those nervous, stressful questions seem to disappear, because there is a kind of knowing, there is a kind of real movement towards that freer space. And the work I do on The Money Shaman is all about that. It's about finding, allowing that passion in yourself to come out and be expressed in your life in all areas. And one of the things that I'm passionate about is creativity in business. And I run a program called Dream Your Business with my very good friend, our very good friend, Damien Sen. And that's www.dreamyourbusiness.com. And really what we're doing on that is that we're taking these principles of creativity, of passion, of real joy and fun and play. And we're showing people how to create really wonderful businesses using those principles, and how to, in a sense, break out of this fixed mold that saying that even business has to be a certain way. And you know, to just say that the greatest tool in business is creativity. So that's something else that I'm very passionate about. And again, you can go, there's links to that on the Money Shaman website. And of course, our workshops that we do together, we run together. Next one, Dream Your Year, www.dreamyouryear.com, which again is about stepping into that wonder and that passion and that really opening to the magic and the beauty of life, and then bringing that into the way you live and the way you, and you know, going back to what I said about Michelangelo. So, you know, sort of dropping these kind of stressful goal setting and punishing principles, and really just allowing all of the nonsense and the things that aren't necessarily there to serve you to just let them fall away, so you can really see what you're here to do and step into that. So,
well, David, thanks so much. It's been a fascinating, I don't know how long it's been, but however long it's been,
sure.
It's been fascinating. David, thanks very much for coming and speaking with us today.
Steve. Have fun.
Great.